negative.
The button has been pushed.
Commencing podcast now.
A voice, a voice. More voice, less voice. Welcome to Pop Tech Jam, the independent audio magazine about consumer technology, pop culture, bad rabbits, and talking fish.
Oh.
It's a very nature-centric show this week.
Yes, there we go.
I'm J.D. Beersdorfer.
And I'm Pedro Rafael Rosado.
On this week's show, we have a giant bucket of news to pour out. And with the smartphone season in full swing now, I have a hopefully helpful hint about switching platforms. Maybe you want to go to the other side of the fence.
Oh, really? Crossing the divide.
Yeah, and since the Windows Phone isn't really a thing anymore, even though Microsoft says, well, we're still doing it. It's an Android iOS world.
Yeah,
it's just, you know.
Seriously. That's exactly what it is.
Cut to the chase.
Yep. Let me ask you a question.
Ask me.
Have you reached peak superhero movie yet?
Not quite yet, because I want to see Justice League. The trailer has me very intrigued. The Thor movie didn't really raise the needle.
I don't know
if it was just I was never a particularly huge Thor fan. Again, I don't know, the Hemsworth without the long hair. Maybe I'm just not feeling that.
Yeah, I'm not feeling that. That's not really Thor to me.
Yeah.
You know, I think I've reached peak.
Really? Even with Justice League, you were
even with Justice
tapped
League,
out.
Especially with Justice League.
Uh-huh.
Justice League, to me, I realized that the director's switch and all that, I realized it was because it was a tragedy and all that stuff. But I don't know. I'm not sold on the whole Aquaman thing. And plus, enough with the comic book movies.
They do need some new source material.
They're rolling them out every week.
Well, they're making money. Well, the one thing that sort of caught my eye in Justice League, just because I've traditionally liked the Marvel Universe properties better, was the dark cinematography that sort of plagued the Zack Snyder movies early on, where it was just, I want to know what's going on, but I know it's supposed to be moody, but it's too dark to see.
Yeah,
and then you get a lot of that very overcast view with what we've seen of Justice League. And then I think I tweeted this because they had this you know, having those the newspapers on the doorstep, and here's the headline, and I'm like, "Who? That is the worst designed newspaper." It was like, get the prop department to look at a modern paper and design something that looks like what the few newspapers that are left look like these days. There's pictures in the paper.
They probably don't even know what a newspaper is.
Yeah, maybe the Youngs just couldn't quite,
couldn't grasp
it. Yeah, so, but you know, for a Gal Gadot, I will go.
Yeah, well, Gal Gadot, I will go for it.
Yeah, and the Aquaman treatment, I'm kind of intrigued by.
The Flash looks, I mean, come on.
Well, it's the Young Flash,
yeah,
right?
Yeah, it's the Young Flash. I don't know.
So maybe it's a rental for you.
Maybe.
Yeah.
Maybe.
Yeah, when you get your superhero overdose out of your system.
Yeah. Yeah, maybe it's a Netflix thing. Maybe.
There you go.
Yeah.
Yeah.
All right, well, and Thor, I definitely don't watch Thor movies at the theater.
All right, so that's a couch or two then.
Oh, yes. All right, well, I just wanted to gauge it. Plus, we got the whole Star Wars thing. You're repping your Star Wars
today. I know.
Today.
I just see it was a Philharmonic concert
that's
from
true.
Empire. It was
that's
very nice.
Very true.
So,
I guess we should do some news.
Yeah, we have bits of news to talk about.
Yes, a bucket full, you said.
Yes, you know, like those Home Depot plastic buckets. That size.
Very familiar.
So, well, there's a new ransomware attack on the loose in Russia and Eastern Europe.
How
and
fun.
As with all global attacks, they always kind of spread the borders and come around. I think it's been reported in other countries already. This one is similar to the previous WannaCry and Petya attacks, and this new menace is called Bad Rabbit. It apparently started infecting computers on October 24th. I don't know if this is a multiply like bunnies kind of thing.
Well, not to be confused with the rap artist Bad Bunny.
Yes.
So this is Bad Rabbit.
Yes, Bad Rabbit. And then there's also, you know, the whole Monty Python rap. Maybe that was in people's minds. Anyway, three Russian media organizations have been hit already, according to cybersecurity firms there. And those who have gotten thumped by Bad Rabbit are sent to a Tor payment page on the dark web and shown a countdown timer. And there is a discount, though. If the victims pay up early, within 40 hours, I guess it's only $285 equivalent of Bitcoin.
They get a deal.
Yes.
Nice.
But if you resist and try not to pay or try to figure something out, I guess the price goes up to unlock your files. So that's going on there. Bad Rabbit infections happen by way of a drive-by downloads on hacked websites that put out that fake Flash update notice that, I got to update my Flash, and people do, and then they get malware, which is, I think, another reason everyone's just really desperate for Adobe to fully retire Flash. So if you see a Flash update message, you know that, well, Flash does not exist anymore.
Exactly.
So that's what's happening there. Now, a Moscow-based Kaspersky lab has been one of the security firms tracking Bad Rabbit from its home base. But here in the States, where Kaspersky software is getting ripped off computers left and right due to the allegations of that little Kremlin connection.
Yeah, a little Kremlin action.
The company is still fighting those accusations. It says it has launched an internal investigation of its own. Kaspersky Lab said its own systems, had been breached by malware in June of 2015 by software linked to what they said were Israeli intelligence operatives.
Of course, Israeli.
And while Kaspersky said it hasn't detected any additional breaches since then, it says its security software did detect malware on the computer of a suspected NSA contractor who had intentionally downloaded it, I guess, to study it or whatever. The Kaspersky software, when it got reactivated, because I guess the guy turned off the AV software, was messing around with the malware, turned it back on. Mm-hmm. The software noticed, oh, look, there's a known piece of rogue code here. And so it grabbed it and a bunch of files and uploaded it back to Kaspersky to study it. Happened to be on the NSA guy's computer there. So Kaspersky's saying, well, that's why we got these files off this computer, and we realized what they were. We deleted them, and no third party saw them. That's sort of the story that
I got to just try to wrap my brain around this.
Yeah.
So the Israelis hacked Kaspersky.
Yeah, well, and I don't know if those two were even, if they're conflating or if this was related. But
yeah, but they threw it out there.
Yeah, that maybe somebody, you know, infiltrated our systems. Yeah.
But it wasn't the Russians.
Yeah.
The Israelis.
Yeah.
And then this NSA guy pulled down this file.
Yeah.
And then...
Yeah, I guess he was doing some independent research.
Of course, independent research.
But was running Kaspersky software on his laptop.
Happened to be running Kaspersky.
Yes, and he turned it off to play around with the bad code.
Right.
Turned it back on.
This is an NSA guy.
Yeah, the Kaspersky is like, whoa, there's bad stuff here. Let me grab it and send it back for quarantine.
So the NSA guy was not aware that there's some issues with the Kaspersky...
At the time, I guess, because it's a couple years ago.
I'm finding this a little bit hard to swallow.
It's
just me.
Yeah, they're sort of sketching out a case here. Mm-hmm. So they say they erased the files that they got off the NSA computer.
Of course they did.
And all these revelations are part of a new transparency initiative.
Really?
That involves giving Kaspersky partners access to their source code and paying much larger bug bounties for vulnerabilities found in their software. Mm-hmm. They're trying to say, look, here's our code. Just look in our code. You can see there's nothing bad in our code. Everyone look at our code.
This is called the Save Their Bacon Plan.
Yes, this is the bacon saver.
Yeah.
So we'll see if it helps it clear their name.
Yeah.
Now, security is key these days, and physical keys are becoming a big part of this new approach to security from Google.
Yes,
as part of its new Advanced Protection Program, which I guess is rolling out this month, Google is locking down the accounts of users who sign up and supply two physical USB or wireless security key devices. This is an actual piece of hardware you need. Mm-hmm. They cost $20, $25 a piece, depending on which one you get. And they contain on them digital signatures that replace the text messages that are used commonly by two-step verification programs when you're trying to log in. It sends you a text code. Because everyone's like, well, no, you can hack that. So we need a way where people cannot intercept your messages. So this new authentication system, you actually have to have the key present in the computer so it can verify that it's you.
Hmm.
And then you can log into your account. It's supposed to stop, you know, phishing and account hijacking and whatnot.
I've been intrigued by this. There's some third-party companies that provide this service, too.
Yeah,
I'm very intrigued by it.
Yeah, and people, well, I don't want to carry around this thing. But 10 years ago, we had VPNs and we had to carry around security dongles, and we just put them on our keychains along with our grocery loyalty cards, and we went on about our business.
Exactly. I carry a Pro Tools dongle with me, an iLock dongle for my audio and video stuff. So
yeah, so this is something Google's
doing. No problem
doing.
In my book.
Yeah, so...
That's one dongle I don't mind having.
Yes, the security dongle.
That's right.
You know, the headphone dongles we're not going to talk about.
That's a different story.
Yes, so Google is really trying to step up the game here. But while Google is making software that works with security keys, Amazon is giving the keys to your front door right to the package courier.
Yeah, I saw this.
The Uber Mega Everything Superstore recently announced its Amazon Key system, which has a special lock and an integrated cloud CAN system in which package couriers can pop open your front door with a one-time code to stick your delivery packages inside and away from the porch pirates. You may watch the whole thing from a cloud-connected camera and mobile app to make sure the courier doesn't nick your spoons or something and make sure everything's on the up and up. Amazon Key customers can create temporary passcodes for friends and other service and maintenance professionals. Say the plumber or the HVAC guy's got to come around to do work on your house, and so you can pop open the door for them as well. And for Amazon Prime members, you can get this service starting for about $250 for the cloud control camera, and the company will also install the smart lock for you. That goes live on November the 8th in 37 U.S. cities. And you can also buy the Cloud Cam a la carte should you want to have a home monitoring system like that Google Nest video doorbell thing we talked about last month.
So on the one hand, their company's freaking people out and getting them to buy these security cameras and stuff and these like security things for your home.
Yeah.
And now you got Amazon. It's like, hey, give some schmuck the keys to your house so you can drop off your Beanie Babies.
Yeah, and they have a video so they can see, you know, you can watch the courier put the package in and then shut the door securely. I would not really invest in this myself.
Yeah, I think you know what my answer for this one is.
Al-Kaiser, are you going to get the Amazon key system?
It's clean tag, right?
Yeah.
Clean tag. Heck no.
Gosh darn it, no.
Gosh darn it. Dag nabbit, no.
I shan't invest in such a dubious property.
Oh, this is so crazy. This is just craziness.
But it's all about Amazon. They want to make sure you have customer satisfaction with your packages delivered on time and efficiently. Right. And if they got to pop open your front door to do it.
How desperate do you want that stuff?
Yeah, the locker thing in the 7-Eleven is probably not that far away.
Porch pirates. I love that term, by the way.
Oh, thank you. I think it was a TV news, because there was that whole rash of them. It always happens around holidays. So.
Well, you know what? I'm going to dip my toe into something like that by having Uber deliver me McDonald's.
Okay.
Which apparently you can do now.
Oh, really? The Uber driver will bring you
a Big Mac value meal. A Happy Meal, if you're in the mood.
Will it still be warm?
I doubt it. Yes. Sincerely,
because once the McDonald's fries set up, they're really kind of inedible.
Pretty much. How did we get to this now?
Porch Pirates and deliveries, yes.
Porch Pirates sounds kind of naughty, though. I'm sorry.
It does. Yeah.
Sorry.
Or the name of a college punk band.
Yes, exactly. But, that is a good name, though.
Yes. Moving on. Inspired by Blade Runner, the Quartz news site has created its own bot to look for other bot accounts spewing political opinions on Twitter. Now, it's not named at Rick Deckard. The Quartz's new software robot is called at Probobot_.
Probobot.
Yes, very fancy, and it's got the underscore at the end.
Nice.
And when it finds a suspected bot-run Twitter account, it adds it to its Botometer tool, which is a machine learning bit of software that tries to determine the probability of bot or not.
Mm-hmm.
Quartz says it has already used the system to classify over 30 accounts, many of which have tweeted hundreds of thousands of times and have thousands of followers.
So there's a botometer?
Yes.
Nice.
So it is looking for, robots out there.
Wow. This is just a crazy world. Like, we're living in science fiction world right now.
We are.
This is science fiction. The future is now.
Totally.
Nice.
Yeah, watch out for the bots. And Reddit even seems to be cracking down on hate bots, even if they're technically human. The discussion site said it has shut down several extremist forums as part of its user policy update. In case you were wondering what that policy is, it reads, "Do not post content that encourages, glorifies, incites, or calls for violence or physical harm against an individual or a group of people," end quote. The updated policy does note that violent content may sometimes be acceptable for posting as part of educational, newsworthy, or artistic messages, but says that the context should be made clear. At least one legal expert has said that this policy might be difficult to enforce.
Probably.
Yeah. But Reddit, I guess, I don't know if they're trying to go mainstream or if they got some kind of IPO or they just want to be seen as not Reddit.
Not Reddit or not jackholes.
Yes, so they're trying to step it up there. But speaking of places with reputations for being cyber cesspools, Twitter says it might actually make a profit this quarter.
Really?
Something it's never actually achieved before in the legit accounting world.
How are they in the legit?
I guess they had some
world?
Fudgy numbers at one quarter.
Yes, did they?
But while chopping its expenses, Twitter has increased its efforts to keep people on the service with perks like 280 character tweets and live stream events like concerts, professional golfing matches, and news programs.
Professional golf.
It was the golf thing that probably put them over the
edge. That'll bring in the youngs.
Yes, the profits.
Yes.
Now, the White House has announced a program to expand the use and testing of drones. This one is not going to make you happy. While previous regulations erred on the side of safety, the new drone rules allow drones to fly over people and populated areas, to fly at night, and to fly out of sight of the drone's operator. Under a presidential memorandum, state and local governments would be able to seek Federal Aviation Administration approval for testing and expanded use of said drones, although no new regulations have been proposed for a broader nationwide use of them. A White House advisor said, quote, the program will open the skies for delivery of life-saving medicines and commercial packages, inspections of critical infrastructure, support for emergency management operations, end quote, and so on and so forth. Drone makers are said to be pleased, as I imagine Amazon is probably, like, totally jazzed about this, too. They have been busting for that whole Amazon Air thing. Yeah, skeet with prizes, as we call it.
I'm not saying a word.
You are being very calm.
Keeping my mouth shut.
You've ripped the arm off your chair,
yes,
though.
Yes, I'm really white-knuckled right yes. here, but that's okay. I'm not saying a word.
It's just a legal story.
Happy place.
Happy place. Mm-hmm. Google has released a version of its Android Science Journal app for iOS devices, and it's upgraded the whole thing overall.
Nice.
The app can measure light, sound, motion, and more using a mobile device that it's running on. And this new version allows note-taking, which making it, as Google calls it, a digital science notebook.
That's cool.
I like that. Science rocks.
Yeah.
You can get that free in the Google Play or iOS app stores.
I want it. I'm going to download it
now. Yeah, download it right now. Don't think about drones and go download the Science Journal app. Yeah. Now, in streaming video news from Variety magazine, Roku is looking to stream its service onto devices made by other people, specifically smartphones by Apple and Google, getting them out of the whole set-top box trap there.
They're tapping out. Mm-hmm. They are seeding the floor.
Yes. So, but this is all something that is being talked about, but not publicly. A Roku spokesperson declined to comment on that.
Really?
And Apple, which is also trying to join the ranks of streaming TV show producers, is sort of wending its way here. Bloomberg reports that the company delayed its carpool karaoke show from April to August because Apple CEO Tim Cook wanted foul language and bodily references cut from some episodes. Now, according to sources, Apple is trying to, like, build itself as an entertainment empire. It wants family shows like comedies and emotional dramas with a broad appeal, like that that NBC show, This Is Us.
This Is
Us. Wants that. That kind of stuff. And they've turned down pitches for edgier shows that you might find on HBO, Showtime, or Netflix. The company plans to spend $1 billion with a B dollars on TV shows over the next year and has hired a development team that's bidding for projects. So we'll see if they can. I hope it's better than Apple Music and Ping and remember their other previous media ventures.
Yeah, they don't have a good history with this stuff.
They're better with the hardware and the software than.
Stick to what you know. To what you know. Amazon's having trouble with their original programming, so I can't imagine Apple will do much better than they are.
Yeah. So, but if you're a content creator, this must be a glorious time because you have all of these potential channels to put your stuff on now.
Absolutely.
So it's good for the creatives.
It is indeed.
Also in Apple news, pre-orders for the iPhone X started this Friday, October 27th.
iPhone X.
Yes, you're calling it the X. Yes. Giving all those Apple fans who found the iPhone 8 just a little too boring and familiar, rushing them out to grab the $1,000 face-scanning Animoji smartphone. However, one well-known Apple aficionado has expressed caution about jumping the gun and going out to buy it.
Really?
Steve Wozniak, Apple's co-founder and legendary engineer, said he's not rushing out on opening day to grab an iPhone X. This is according to a chat I guess he had with CNBC. According to them, Woz said, I'd rather wait and watch that one. I'm happy with my iPhone 8, which is the same as the iPhone 7, which is the same as the iPhone 6 to me. Wozniak told the network from the sidelines of the Money 2020 conference his thoughts on this matter. Also said, for some reason, the iPhone 10 is going to be the first iPhone I didn't, on day one, upgrade to. But my wife will, so I'll be close enough to see it. Now, he also said he was skeptical that the Face ID feature might not work the way it's supposed to. So
I
think a lot of people, they're either complaining about the notch on the top of the phone or the Face ID is maybe a little more smoke than fire at this point.
Woz.
Yeah.
Woz coming out swinging.
Yeah, I don't think Apple was probably too thrilled because I think he said this a few days before the pre-orders started. Well, we'll find out on November 3rd. I think the Woz can afford not to care.
Yeah.
The phone drops November 3rd. I imagine we'll probably hear the night of the 3rd into the 4th how it's working. Maybe even earlier because Australia will be out there and get in it early.
Always Australia.
You know, they're positioned right there, you know.
Yeah.
Now, in gaming news.
Yes, gaming news.
Yes.
I'm actually on the Science Journal right now, so excuse me if
all
I
right,
get distracted.
All right, so measure the air and the motion.
I'm measuring the hot air that we're generating now.
Yes, don't melt your phone.
Yes.
In gaming news, Microsoft has announced it's going to stop making its Kinect motion controller for the Xbox and PCs. As Ars Technica reports, Kinect concepts live on in the Microsoft HoloLens augmented reality headset, as well on the virtual and augmented reality system in the latest release of Windows 10. But I guess the Kinect controller itself had a lot of promise. People were kind of doing stuff, but I guess the thrill is gone.
Yeah, the thrill is gone. Connect, we hardly knew you.
Yeah. Now, in happier gaming news for many, though, the Nintendo game Animal Crossing Pocket Camp is coming to mobile phones next month. Like Pokemon Go, the game will be free to play, but include those in-app purchases to keep you coming back.
I hate those so much.
Yes.
Really detest them. Now they got this thing where you have to buy something to get rid of ads.
Uh-huh.
That really frosts my rage cake, as you might say.
Yes.
Really, really frosts my rage cake.
I see. So, so you don't like that whole, you know, hey, we'll stop bugging you if you give us money.
Oh, my gosh. Because then, you know, then my kids start bugging me.
Mm-hmm.
We download a game. They love it. Every 10 seconds, they're getting an ad jammed in their face.
Kind of cuts down on the gameplay satisfaction.
Yes, indeed. And also kind of cuts down on the fact that I'm not going to download any more games for my kids.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know.
No games for you.
No.
Yes. And finally. In a masterful do-it-yourself project last year, a creative individual took a Big Mouth Billy Bass, you know, remember that talking novelty rubber fish that sang, "Don't worry, be happy,"
yes,
and "Take me to the river,"
yes,
all while affixed to a plaque that you stuck on the wall.
Mm-hmm.
Someone has taken one of those and hacked it together with an Amazon Alexa so the fish could mouth Alexa's words. This was a video that was going around in the last year.
It's a beautiful thing.
I don't know if Amazon took notice or what, but a VP there said that a new version of the singing fish will actually work purposely with Alexa over a Bluetooth connection, and they want it to, or they're planning for it to wiggle and lip sync with music that Alexa plays. So I know your son is a big Alexa fan. Do you see yourself getting a Bluetooth Big Mouth Billy Bass and having
it
talking?
Not by choice. Not by choice.
Yes.
Not by choice.
Yeah.
But I can definitely see it happening.
The level of interactivity, mm-hmm. You know, we thought it was the animatronic fish was just exciting when it would turn its head and kind of do it was like Hall of Presidents fish up there talking.
Yeah. See, my daughter just got past the stage where she has things, you know, she would repeat things over mm-hmm. and over again, or watch the same show or movie over and over again. But my son is right there, so I can easily see him trying to get one of these things or his grandparents buying him one of these things and making my life a living.
You will never have a moment of peace.
I would never, never. I wasn't a fan of Big Mouth Billy in the first place.
Yeah, and now this would give you a reason to punch Big Mouth Billy off the wall.
Yes.
All right, well, maybe he'll miss the videos and the commercials.
I'm kind of grumpy today. Have you noticed that? I don't know if you've noticed that.
It's been a long week.
It's been a long week.
We're getting the seasonal shift. Everyone's getting the seasonal cold.
You know, I think that drone thing really messed my...
I'm sorry.
It really harshed my mellow.
It's not
your fault.
Well, you know, we're just reporting the news.
That's right. We're just reporting the news.
Yes, all right. But, and as far as the news goes, that's about it for this segment.
Yes,
though, for anyone out there who wants to know more, read a little deeper on some of the things that we talked about, you can find links to all the original source material on our show page at...
PopTechJam.com.
Okay, no fishing for you, but we're going to talk phones in the next segment.
Okay.
It's that fall season. Yeah, you mentioned being cranky, but it's all the new smartphones are out.
It's smartphone season.
Yes, the app, whichever number of Apple you get, the Pixel 2. Lots of new, the Galaxy S8's been out for a while.
The iPhone, I'm waiting for the iPhone Dos Equis.
That's
what I'm waiting for.
I see, and it'll come with a six-pack of beer.
Absolutely, that's what I'm waiting for.
I think that could be a winner.
Nice.
But have you ever, you've used both platforms at the same time, just because of work and personal life.
Yes.
And do you have a preference for either?
You know what? I ask myself that regularly. I have to say now, for ease of use, I lean towards iPhone.
Mm-hmm.
But the nice thing about Android is obviously you can mod it and you can do all sorts of stuff that you can't do on the iPhone. So I think maybe the Android platform wins for my personal
Inner geek
satisfaction.
Yeah, so for those people who have to decide, and the decisions have gotten a lot harder these days, too.
I'm deciding. Because remember, last year I was going to go for the Google phone.
Yeah.
And then I didn't pull the trigger. I ended up getting another iPhone.
Yeah.
And I felt guilty about that.
Yeah.
So I lived with that guilt for an entire year.
And here we are.
Now there's the Google
Pixel 2.
The Pixel 2. But what did they go and do? They got rid of the headphone jack.
Yeah.
So I need to change. I need an Android phone like stat.
Yes, that has the 3.5.
Right.
Yes. Well, for people out there who are maybe contemplating going to the other side mm-hmm. or want to change or whatever. Say you've had a smartphone for 5 or 6 years, even
longer.
Some people have had it for 10 years. Okay. It's the 10th year of the iPhone. But say you got a lot of stuff on there, because even if you bought new phones, you just upgraded it in place.
Oh, yeah.
And so, well, maybe I want to go to the other side, but right. how do I get my stuff, like my photos, my contacts, all that?
That is a big deal. That is a very big deal.
Both Apple and Google, I think, have realized that they need to make it easier to steal customers from the other side. And mm-hmm. so they've sort of gone out of their way to kind of, here's some guides on how you nice. Can jump to our side and come over, come to the light,
smart.
You know, get away.
Smart.
Yeah, and it's both sides are doing this.
Oh, yeah.
But say you want to leave Android for an iPhone mm-hmm. for whatever reason.
Right.
Apple has actually made a Move to iOS app that tries to make it easier.
They've made an app for it?
Yes, you can download it from the Google Play Store.
Wow.
And it's called Move to iOS, and you just run that thing. And it kind of helps you collect your all the things that you would need to move to a phone and take it over from your Android device to an iPhone. It doesn't have the best reviews in the store just because transfer software, I think, can be quirky, but it tries to automatically transfer your contacts, calendars, photos, videos, text message history, mail accounts, and web bookmarks from Android to iPhone, and also provide you a list of corresponding iOS versions of apps if there's not a complete one-to-one mm-hmm. From Android there. So it tries to do that. I think, as we said, transfer software can be a little wiggly
oh, yeah.
sometimes,
but
that's the intent of this thing. And a lot of these phones now, there are apps for both Android and iOS. So if you're using Spotify on one
right.
platform, you can use it on the other. You just yep. log into your account.
Just log in.
That type of stuff is not all that big of a lift. Now, if you wanted to move from an iPhone and go over to Android, the different Android manufacturers, because as you said, it is a much more open system and more mm-hmm. people are making it, mm-hmm. some of these manufacturers may have their own software that can help you with that. Google site has its own three-step guide for leaving iOS for Android, with the first step is backing up your phone's data to an online Google Drive account, and then going on from there to import your phone's address book and calendar events into Google Apps so that they're there in the cloud. And then when you leave and you start up your new Android phone, you can just download it all from there. One thing to do, though, if you have been on iPhone, there's always been this traditional problem of iMessage, just grabbing your
yep.
number and not moving it.
Yep.
If you are moving from iPhone to Android, you need to deregister that phone from your iMessage account so that your messages will go to your new phone and not go into the ether.
Ah.
And Apple has a page on their site where you can go and deregister from iMessage.
I did not know that. Thank you.
Yes, because that has been a traditional problem.
Well, it's probably going to be a problem I'm going to run into soon.
Yeah, and then there's things like if you've been in the iTunes store forever, maybe you have some of that super locked up music before they went DRM free in 2009,
yeah.
maybe that stuff's not going to play on your new system. Maybe, it depends on what the copied restrictions
yeah.
are. And newer stuff plays on both platforms because
That's
they
true.
Did get rid of the DRM.
Yes, they did.
So I will have a link to an article that explains a little bit more in detail on how to get to these resources to move phones. But if you're thinking about jumping platforms, but you were just petrified about how to move your stuff, will it even work?
Mm-hmm.
Read through some of the things, make sure it's what you want. But like Google Maps, it's on both platforms.
It's on both.
Gmail is on both platforms. You can get a lot of exactly the same things that you use, and they just look slightly different because of the different operating system interface.
Yep.
But it's not the sort of shirt renting process. It used to be very much in the same way that moving from PC to Mac or Mac to PC has
right.
gotten easier too, because the two competing companies realize it's in their best interest to make it easy for you, so you will move to their side.
Exactly, exactly.
Yes, and so that's been our hopefully helpful hint for the day.
Top five. This is the top five.
Now you want to go out and just buy phones. And
I
you
do.
Know, the two Windows Phone people who are going to yell, it's like, look, I'm sorry, you guys have less than 4% on the market.
Yeah.
And, you know, it's an iOS and an Android world
it
at the moment.
It is indeed.
But next week, we should talk about that Linux phone that's all about privacy,
yes.
too. One of our listeners tweeted to us, and I didn't have time to do a lot of research on it, but there is a fundraising campaign for a phone that's Linux-based that's all about your privacy, which is kind of unusual these days.
Yes, very unusual. I'm intrigued. I am
yes,
legitimately
so we will talk about that next week.
Nice.
And we will talk about more things, I guess, because we've got to go now, right?
We do have to go. We got to thank the bros.
Yes, thank you, bros.
BuiltByBros.com. Build something with the bros. If you think it, they'll build it.
Yes, because they built us for 252
they sure have.
Episodes.
Thank you very much. Golf clap.
Yes, and thank you, listeners, for downloading us, streaming us, putting up
Absolutely.
With us.
Shenanigans.
Yes, we are deeply appreciative of that.
Every week.
Yes, and we hope everyone out there has a lovely week, whether you were waiting in a a pre-order line for an iPhone 10, or you're just kicking back, or whatever you're watching, right. We hope your week was good.
Be careful on Halloween, too.
Yeah.
If you do that whole Halloween thing.
Yeah, yeah. Be careful out there.
Yes.
And we'll see you next week.